Did Don Draper really buy the world a Coke? Did Tony Soprano really die, or just order more onion rings? The finales of our favorite shows can make us argue, make us cry, and make us crazy. From Spotify and The Ringer, I'm Andy Greenwald, and this is Stick the Landing, a new podcast where we'll be telling the story of modern TV backwards, one fade out at a time. Find Stick the Landing on Wednesdays on the Prestige TV feed, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. For me, my happy place is in the Mediterranean. I think I've mentioned that. Maybe it's why I like Love Island so much, because they're right by the Mediterranean. But I just love the feeling of being in the sea, and it's just a great sea. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. And for me, I'd love to go on a trip to the Mediterranean with friends. In fact, I might be doing that in the near future. I have done it before, and it was really some of the most fun I've ever had. I went to Sicily. We had some great swimming there, me and my friends. Anyway, if you want to have a similar experience, download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline. This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. Welcome to Bachelor Party. I'm Juliette Littman. It's time for the second edition of What's Up Thursday. It's just me, and I'm with my producer, Devin Baraldi. Hi, Devin.
Hello.
I like having Devin here, so I'm literally not just talking to myself. I don't know how, like, influencers do it. Like, when people make a TikTok and they just, like, explain stuff and, like, do a green screen, I don't get it. But we are back to talk about what's up in Bachelor Nation on Bachelor Reddit, elsewhere in reality TV, and stuff that I'm reading. Spoiler alert, no books this week because I'm still reading the same books as last week, but I'm an avid reader of the links delivered to me by my Google News feed when I open a new tab on my Google Chrome, my phone. So I get a lot of great articles that way, and I'm excited to tell you about a couple of them. But first, what's up in Bachelor Nation? I feel that Bachelor Nation is back. It's so back. It's a revival. I have heard anecdotally from more people in my life than in quite some time that they are excited about Joey. And Callie and I discussed this. It's because people would actually want to date Joey in the real world. And that just makes all of the difference in the world. I was thinking about who was the last Bachelor that I actually would consider dating. And it was definitely Matt James. However, Matt James is an exercise addict, and that is a no-go for me. He had this thing that I saw, I think this was on Reddit, but he basically posted that he was on a flight. I believe it was to New York from LA or vice versa. And he walked up and down the aisle so much that he walked the equivalent of like 2 miles on his flight. And
stop.
That's
just sit down.
As a fellow passenger, as someone who flies a lot, I would be furious and also freaked out. I'd be like, why is this guy pacing the airplane aisle? Like, I'm someone who's very, I'm a very like nervous person in general, particularly on planes.
I am as well.
And I would just be like, what is this guy doing?
What is he planning? What is he plotting?
Exactly. So this is what happens with The Bachelor is they come in, you're like, okay, maybe Joey's a definite. Like with Clayton and with Colton and with Zach, it was a never. It was an absolutely not with like those recent guys. With Peter, I'm like, perhaps he's cute, I guess. The more you get to know them, the worse they seem. And you're like, it's true of like almost all. I feel like the vast majority of dates one might go on, it either starts out horrible and you're just like, nope, never again. Or you're filled with hope and then it's just a slow decline into being incredibly annoyed with this person. And maybe that takes 3 weeks or 30 years. Who knows? With those guys, though, like Zach and Clayton in particular was just so unappealing, I think, to most women. And that's also why I didn't win The Bachelorette. That it was just like never something you would consider. And so it was like less fun to watch. Like ultimately at the heart of The Bachelor is a fantasy. And you need to be able to fantasize about yourself, I think, or like a person you might know in your life dating this guy on TV. And for so many years, it's just been really hard to imagine it because I just don't think they were picking guys that people like, you know, at a bar would necessarily be attracted to. Like, were Zach and Clayton like handsome guys? Yes. But they just didn't have this presence, this swagger that Joey does. And Matt definitely had it. I mean, I was obsessed with him before I heard him speak when I just saw him like on Tyler's Instagram and whatever. But there's just something different. Matt has always been like exceptional and like larger than life. And Joey does not, in the most kind way possible, he does not seem exceptional. Joey seems like someone you would meet and be like, wow, these are beautiful eyes. And wow, this guy is a activities director in Hawaii. I'm interested. Tell me more. So I just think that as a result, people are intrigued. And I've heard from like at least two people, more than that though, but two key voices, including Mallory Rubin, that they're back in because Joey's just so cute. But
dang. Again,
I just want to stress, it's not just because he's cute. It's because you can like project onto him in a way that you also would want sure. to project onto him.
Like so, approachable, cute, kind of.
Attainable hot, yeah. But in okay. a way that is just so uncommon on this show. Like he also, like we've seen him shirtless quite a bit. The man's very attractive, taking nothing away from him. But he's not like Avon or Matt James. And you're like, okay, he works out constantly. Or like, you know, I don't picture Joey alone in his apartment with a tub of Muscle Milk or like protein powder. The way that I do for many of these guys. So
he eats real food. He eats human food.
Yeah, he eats real food. Exactly.
Love that.
So I just think this is going to be a great season. A lot of speculation about what is this unprecedented finale, because I think the producers have said publicly that something happens, it's unprecedented. I doubt that it's that he ends up alone. Maybe it is, but I highly doubt it. He seems so uninterested in like all the people around him at Gary's wedding. Like not in like a mean way, but just sort of like focus on the job. And that leads me to believe that perhaps he's with someone. I have no idea what could be unprecedented. I feel like we've seen so much, but maybe his choice rejects him. That's my best guess. We haven't really seen that except for with Susie, but she didn't make it to the final rose. So I really don't know what's going on. Look forward to seeing though. It's just a really strong casting. And that leads me to some of the gossip about the gals that's been on the internet. There's two in particular. Maria has become a topic of mine and Callie's text message. I was into her from the jump and Callie was not so sure, but she's been sending me info along the way. We've talked about her quite a bit. And there's this woman on TikTok. Her name is Jord, J-O-R-D. She's in New York. There's a William Smith College's bumper sticker on her car. There's so much East Coast energy on this season of The Bachelor. I'm like so not used to it. It's jarring to me. Even with Maria being from Ontario, from Toronto, like she's still bringing the sort of Eastern North America vibe. Anyway, Jord has this long 2-minute TikTok. I'll just play a snippet of it for you.
Basically, she just kind of always knew like where they were going to be, like what hotels they were staying at, or like if they were like going to an after party somewhere. Like she kind of just always knew the ins and outs of what they were doing, and we just met her through that. She was usually with her mom or dad. Her dad is someone, like someone important. I like want to say he does something in music, but I don't really remember.
Okay, so the they that Jord is referring to is One Direction, and Jord knows Maria from being a One Direction groupie. They used to stake them out in New York. And I just like Maria even more. This is like so relatable. I think that I was not on that level with the Backstreet Boys. I would say I'm like closer to that level now as an adult, sort of. But I did, I was obsessed with them. I like lied about my age to see them at Saturday Night Live when I was 12. And I took the day off from school the day Millennium came out, and like went to TRL and stood outside. Like I loved the Backstreet Boys. And I totally, I think I would have been like a One Direction stalker. There was this internet person named like Stalker Sarah who would always be at LAX when celebrities landed. And it was like very early in like the like Live Journal era. And she would always take pictures with them. But anyway, George knows Maria from being obsessed with One Direction. And I love it. I'm a little bit too old to fully understand the impact of One Direction, I think. I was a fan. I still like their music. But like the hold that they had over some people is just so huge. And like, they're legitimately all really famous. Even Louis, who is like the least famous of them, is a big deal. But Kate Gallivan, who you might recall from Paradise and also from Clayton season, she's been on the pod, friend of the pod. She told this long story on this podcast about how she made out with Harry Styles. Well, Jord claims that Maria has had sex with a member of One Direction. I don't want to speculate on who. Jord did speculate on her TikTok, so you could go figure it out. But she wasn't positive. So I'm going to like half repeat the rumor, but not fully. And once again, I will just say this all makes me like Maria more. Jord also says that Maria's father was someone. So I got really interested in that. I'm not sure that he is. I tried to figure this out and I found him. I did find him on LinkedIn because Maria posts a lot of pictures with him. And his name is Nick Georgas. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's G-E-O-R-G-A-S. And he's the president of a candy company in Toronto. So I think he just might be rich. Perhaps he has really good connections in the music industry. And that's why they are able to find One Direction and stay with that or stay at the same hotels. But I can't find any indication that he's like famous beyond that. But what do I know? Maria also has been really like self-effacing and funny on social, like making fun of her own like influencer content and whatnot. And I'm all in on her. I don't actually think she has a reality TV future unless it's like on a Bravo show, maybe, because she just seems like a little bit too comfortable with herself, like in a good way in the real world, but in a bad way for TV. So I don't know what Maria's future holds, but for now, I'm buying what she's selling. And I hope that Joey is too.
I also was a One Direction fan back in the day. So
who's your favorite?
God. I mean, my favorite was Zayn, but I'll never forgive him for splitting them up initially.
Like
I remember where I was when I received the news that he was causing them to split up. I was like, he'll come to regret this.
He definitely does. I'll just say my favorite at the time was Liam. I think he's like gone off the deep end. And then I met them in 2013. I went to a taping of X Factor and Niall was so great and normal. And
he seems so nice.
He was awesome. He was like easy to talk to and I really liked him. So he remains my favorite. All right, let's move on. Taylor was someone else that we talked about. Taylor got into it with Jess, who my friend Helen pointed out to me looks like Hannah B. And we talked about that. Callie and I talked about that the other day. And then Helen sent me a very, very funny Instagram where at Bachelor Talk on Twitter posted that Jess looks like Hannah Brown's evil twin, aka Hannah Beige. And I just found that really funny. But that's not the point of this story. The point of this story is people are saying on TikTok that Taylor is a bully. At Melly Travels, M-E-L-L-I-E Travels on TikTok, posted a video of Taylor and said, watching The Bachelor and seeing one of the worst high school bullies I had to deal with as a teenager. So Taylor didn't come off great in episode one. Don't think that she will going forward. We were not kind to her on Monday. Seems like she was not kind to people as a teenager. So maybe it's fair and square. I don't know.
I feel like every season there's like this specific TikTok about someone like, oh, cool. My like worst tormentor from childhood is on this show. I don't know what it is about Bachelor women, but
I think it's the type of person who wants to go on reality TV. I mean, we'll talk about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City when we get to what's up in reality TV and also on the reality TV podcast. But like Monica, I know people love her and she's funny. She is a bully. Like I know that Heather kept saying, Heather kept saying that, but even before we found out she was reality Von Teese, I would say to my friends and my colleagues, like, she's just mean. Like making fun of Lisa for being her age is like, just like a mean thing to do. So I think there's a kind of like attention seekingness that sometimes ends up on these shows. But anyway, back to Joey. Joey did a recurring series with GQ. This was a Q&A with the reporters named Abby Stone, and they asked him about his wellness routine, and Joey just kept repeating over and over again that he likes to be outside and work out, not even work out, but just get physical activity. When he was living in Hawaii, he would play tennis and he would surf a lot. And she kept trying to get more information out of him of what was your breakfast like? What's your, wellness routine? And it was always just drinking water, doing something outside, going for a walk if I'm feeling stressed out. It was so basic, but it's also probably very true to the average 28-year-old man. How many of them are really focused on their diet? And I think that's why, again, he's so appealing is he's just a guy out here doing his thing. This did lead me to digging in more into where he worked when he lived in Hawaii. He lived on Kauai, which he says is his favorite island and also the only island in Hawaii I've been to. So I agree. It's wonderful. And he was an activities coordinator, counselor. So he would not only do tennis, but also was just sort of a part of resort life. I just feel like this is actually so perfect for him because he must be so used to dealing with crazy women who are attracted to him. So his job got him ready for this. I love it. I also wanted to give a shout out to my friend Rachel Platten, who was on the pod when we started with Charity. And I was Joey's a fuckboy. He's a tennis pro. He's probably sleeping with all the guests at the hotel, et cetera, et cetera. And she was no, I think he seems really nice. And I've been thinking about that because he does seem really nice. And I was making fun of Rachel at the time, but she was right. So Rachel, I see you and I thank you. This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Before we move on to Reddit, I want to mention one other thing about what's up in Bachelor Nation, and something that I've just been thinking about a lot since the Oscar nominations came out earlier this week. Back in July, anticipating, maybe it was August, anticipating the Golden Bachelor, Jodie Walker came on the pod and we did a bio breakdown or sort of an expectations of what we wanted from the show. And it basically, because it was late July or early August and we had this conversation, became a discussion about The Bachelor in the wake of Barbenheimer weekend and specifically Barbie. And I've been thinking so much about it because I know that some people are mad that Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie didn't get nominated in their respective categories. I ride or die for Greta Gerwig. And so I think that's a bummer. And I love her movies in general. Frances Ha is absolutely one of my favorite movies. I think Barbie is flawed. The second half of the movie just doesn't make sense. And that's too bad. But what Greta created is so amazing. And moreover, I'm just so glad it exists. And I was just thinking about how so many of the conversations I had after seeing that movie were totally changed by seeing it through the lens of Greta Gerwig's vision of patriarchy and Barbie. And this Bachelor show is really relevant to that. So I just wanted to say that I recommend going back to that pod. We'll try to find it and put it in the show notes. But it was a pretty interesting conversation with Jodie. And I thought in this week when people are mad about Greta Gerwig not getting enough attention and praise, let's just give her some more. So check out that pod. All right. Next topic. What's up on Reddit? I learned a lot from Reddit this week. Just some news and notes got to get through. Number one, most recent. Reddit's been speculating for months. Susie and Justin, are they dating? Everyone assumed yes. Turns out everyone was correct. They are dating. They have been for a while. They seem really cute. They're like a goofy couple together. And they were good friends first. They moved to LA at the same time. They're both from the East Coast. And I don't know. This just seems like it's working. I don't know if it's for forever. Who cares? They're young. But they're just like a really cute couple. He hired her for like a videographer job. And then they kind of like hit it off from there. And then they did a hard launch by talking to people and also putting up a video clip reel of them for the last few months, which is very similar to what Clayton and Susie did when they announced they were together after the final rose. That's fine because this is what Susie does. She's a videographer and video editor. But anyway, I really like both of them. So congrats to them both. I think that's lovely. It's a real L for The Bachelor that they were not on Paradise, and this couldn't have like been a Paradise storyline, but probably a W for them personally. So we'll take it.
Next, I love them together.
Yeah, they're adorable.
Very intense height difference, but I'm assuming they make it work. So
I'm sure they do. Apparently, they met each other's families over the holidays, and they went to a Ravens game. He's a big Baltimore Ravens fan. Yeah, I'm happy for them. Ashley and Jared are having another child. I saw a clip on Reddit where Ashley referred to the child she's currently growing inside of her as a he. So people think it's a boy, but who knows? That was just a slip. I don't know. And then probably most importantly, this is really from Demois, which I don't really check regularly, but ended up on Reddit. Caitlin and Zach, rumored to be dating as well, were seen at this bar in the West Village called Houston Hall over the weekend. They were dancing together. They were kind of like in a corner and they weren't really paying attention to anyone else. It was very cute. Someone noted that like going to Houston Hall while sober sounds horrible, but I guess Zach has just a high tolerance for that. I haven't been there in like at least 10 years though. So what do I know? But yeah, happy for them. I'm curious logistically how that will work. Will Caitlin be coming to New York a lot? Will he be going to Nashville? Who knows? I mean, he had Tayshia move to New York. I think she still lives here. So I don't see Zach going to Nashville. So I'm curious to see how that goes, but good luck to them. It's great.
I'm happy for them, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, whatever.
I don't really feel that. People like are really mean to Caitlin online.
They eviscerated her for this.
I just don't understand why. There's nothing, like, she didn't do anything wrong. I don't particularly like her content, but I don't think she's done anything wrong to anyone ever. So,
yeah, I don't know. I guess it was like, I would imagine that it's like they thought, you know, it's kind of like a breaking of girl code because her and Tayshia are so close. But also, does Tayshia care?
They've been broken up
for years. I mean,
I don't buy any of
that.
They're
friends, I guess.
I don't buy it. It's fine. And also, like, they've broken up for years. Tayshia has another boyfriend. I think she's dating Luke from Summer House. Like, it's fine.
Oh, she is?
That was a rumor for a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on. What's up in reality TV elsewhere? So I really want to talk about The Real Housewives of Salt Lake. And the good news is I'll be doing that at length tomorrow on Morally Corrupt on the Ringer reality TV show. I can't wait. Devin asked me to join to chat with Rachel Lindsay. I'm really
excited.
But I just got to fire off a few takes really quickly. First of all, the episode 3 of the reunion, the very last episode of this season, truly gave me a headache. It was like too much yelling. Like the women just like bickering and talking over each other. I really didn't enjoy it. And then the other thing I just want to say is people seem to be upset that Monica is not returning to the show. I kind of get it because she's entertaining, but I just find her mean and sad. So I'm not that bummed about it. My MVP, first ballot Hall of Fame season performance by far is Lisa Barlow. Lisa gave us so much this season. It's unbelievable. I didn't even like her before. I wouldn't say I like her now, but like she was the show to me this year. Jen had to go to prison so that Lisa could shine. And she did. But here's the thing about Monica not coming back. The producers have done a lot of press in the last week. I think to kind of get ahead of the Monica departure, leave the door open. There's sort of like the phrase that the producers and Andy have used is like cooling off period. They also have made it crystal clear that they did not know that Monica was running this burner account, Reality Von Tease 2. There's like two Reality Von Teases, which I feel like has not been discussed enough, but whatever. So Monica claimed on this finale, this season, episode 3 of the reunion, that she told a casting director in like her initial interview. I don't know if that's true. It was very evident from this reunion that Monica lies with ease, so it's very hard to take that seriously. But here's the thing that I think is actually like a bit of a problem for the show. There's too much awareness of producers now. Monica talking extensively about her audition process for the show and like how she got on it, I think is really shatters this illusion of friendship. And it's tough because they keep coming back to you. Heather keeps saying like, we are all friends. We all like each other and like spend time together. And Monica's not part of that. But Monica was never part of that. And I understand that like once you come on the show, there's the expectation that you build actual bonds and you become friends and whatever. But I think there's like a real problem now where there's, for me at least, there's this specter of production and how they are involved in making these shows in a way that I think Housewives have done overall have done a really good job of. There's awareness of certain producers, but none of them are very front and center. You don't have a real sense of like how they interact with people. And one thing that's fun about Girls Trip is it changes that, and they kind of allow the peripheral characters, like the people who work at the various restaurants and institutions they go to be on the show, and you do see producers more. But they, on Girls Trip, they break the fourth wall without shattering the illusion. I think there's a real problem of like of buy-in now. And so that, I think, was a kind of miscalculation on the part of production, Shed Media, and Bravo. So I'm curious to see how that plays out. And I think they're going to have to work really hard to get us all to buy into this friend group next season. But the other thing about Monica leaving the show, they have said to the producers that there's a problem with trust. Like if you lose the cast, then that's like a problem for the show. But it's just like the producers themselves can't trust Monica. Like put the rest of the women aside. If you can't work with one of the cast members in a way where like you don't think they're going to be duplicitous, they're actually going to listen to you, like, you know, not to be so callous, but like if you can't manipulate them, if you can't sort of guide them to do things that you want to do based on like kind of this idea they're being transparent with you, even if I'm sure no one's like fully transparent, that's like a real problem. And I think Monica like embarrassed the producers by having this secret that they didn't figure out. And so it's like, put all the other women and their trust aside. Like Monica can't stay because of the producers. Like they have to kind of like punish her. I would say this has almost like nothing to do with good TV or whatever. If they really wanted Monica back, they would figure it out. There's so many reality shows where people don't film together and they figure it out. But I just think that like Monica not telling the producers was a huge mistake for her and therefore made the producers look really bad. And so I think this is like actually a kind of deep existential issue. They're lucky that they're made such a good finale and that Heather has become the Kyle of Salt Lake, because she's so participatory and like, She has really, you know, if you ask her, she's found her voice, but she's just become like the engine of the show. And I'm sure that the way that she worked with production to nail the monologue and everything was pretty calculated, because if you really think about it, it's just like, why didn't she just confront her right away? But anyway, I think the show actually has like some structural problems now, and I'm curious to see how it moves forward. I think the people will be willing to forgive a lot because it was such like an exhilarating pop culture moment. But it's a lot of errors, in my opinion. So I just wanted to offer a different perspective.
It is interesting. But I also like, where could Monica have gone from this point? Like after playing all of your cards, like what are you going to do? You know, I don't know. I feel like this reunion was like a chance to maybe.
That's what they said. That's what Andy said too. Like if she had won one person over, it could have been different, other than Mary, who still likes her. I got a lot more to say about
Whitney
this.
Whitney also follows her now. Not saying that she won her over, but I think, yeah, she...
Whitney's hard to understand.
She is. She forgives people often.
Yeah, she does, which I guess is a good thing.
It is good. But no, it sets like a weird... It just sets such a weird precedent for like, you know, potential housewives going forward.
It's also, I don't... I don't want storylines about Instagram on the show. So if that's going to be what's going on, that's a problem for me. We'll save the rest of this for Ringer Reality TV, Morally Corrupt, tomorrow. So please listen. One other note. Callie and I talked about The Traitors. Still going strong watching that. If you haven't, I definitely recommend it to all of you. And there's also a really great article in Variety about how they film it, how they film the UK and US versions back to back. And it's really interesting, like nuts and bolts about reality TV. So I recommend it if you are
curious.
I've
heard really good things about it.
It's fun. It's fun. It's also just different. And if you like
Phaedra, as a fan of the camp game Mafia, I feel that it would be for me personally.
And Phaedra's a star. So if you like Phaedra, check it out.
Of course I love Phaedra. Who doesn't love Phaedra?
All right. Last, what's up on my reading list? I want to recommend two articles that I read this week. One is in The Atlantic. It's about barcodes that you see on your food and specifically how they function in the grocery store and how they will soon be an outdated technology. But it's really interesting. It's like a simple thing that we all are familiar with that you take for granted. And it was like a long deep dive on barcodes in The Atlantic. So check that out. And then the other one was a deep dive on Haribo, the gummy bear company that has a factory in the U.S. Yeah. And it's all about how they brought manufacturing to the U.S. and why they did it. And it's really good. So I recommend that as well.
They're my favorite gummy brand of
many
like candy.
Agree with you.
Because they have hardness. The gummies have a strength that I feel that other gummies don't have.
Check this article out, Devin. It's very interesting.
I'm going to.
All right, everybody. That's all I got for you. Callie and I will be back on Monday night for week two of Joey and some more reality TV talk. Don't forget to listen to Morally Corrupt for more Bravo. Thank you to Devin Baraldi for joining me on this. And that's what's up on this Thursday. Talk to you next week. Have a great weekend.